This is a war between the government and the Tamil people.
I'm not a fucking terrorist. You are the terrorist.
People are crying out for justice in this country.
If you've got to be militant to achieve your aims and your aspirations, so be it.
There's a real hypocrisy from the big corporations.
The people from below will push for real change.
This Australia is going to be shocked, and then the public will say, what the hell's going on?
Welcome to another edition of Indie Media. On this week's program, we're going to be talking about the school strike for climate movement, the global phenomenon organized by predominantly school-aged children and their supporters that is demanding governments around the world take action on climate. Here in Perth, students and their supporters gathered in Supreme Court Garden on Friday, and the protest took particular aim at both the state and federal government's so-called gas-led recovery plan. That is the recovery plan that the governments have put forward as a solution to recover from the COVID-19 pandemic. We're going to be speaking to Amy, one of the organisers from Student Strike for Climate. Also on the program, we're going to be hearing from some of the voices of Australian Palestinians who participated in a demonstration over the weekend in the solidarity and support of the Palestinian people. Hundreds of people have been murdered in Gaza during the 11-day Israeli bombardment of the besieged territory. And Indie Media's Alex Wisson was at the Perth protest speaking to those that had come out in support of the Palestinian cause. We're also going to be speaking to Yael from Jews Against Zionism, a newly formed group in Melbourne, otherwise known as NAM. Not only did they support the Melbourne demonstration on the weekend, where some 10,000 people came out in support of the Palestinians, but Jews Against Zionism also organised a counter-demonstration on the Sunday, as a bunch of pro-Israeli supporters had organised a rally on the Sunday. And in order to challenge both that demonstration and the narrative that all Jews support Zionism, Yael and their friends gathered to counter both the narrative and the Israeli demonstration. Now, on Friday, there were thousands of students and their supporters on the streets of Australia, various capital cities. Here in Perth, people gathered on the Supreme Court gardens to demand that the Morrison government switch its gas-fired COVID-19 economic recovery plan to a renewable energy one. One of the organisers of the Student Strike for Climate, or the local Student Strike for Climate group, Amy, joins us now on the phone. Thanks very much for joining us this morning, Amy.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thanks. Now, you had thousands of people come out in the streets on Friday in one of the first student strikes for climate since the pandemic. Can you just tell our listeners what happened and why you guys were gathering on the streets this recent Friday?
Yeah, it took us about a month and a half to organise that, so I'm glad we had a great turn-up. we did it because there's large corporations that are continuously fueling the industry and causing catastrophic amounts of carbon pollution in our atmosphere. There's around like 100 companies behind 71% of global emissions, and everyone thinks that they're to blame for this problem, but they're not. The blame doesn't fall on the consumer, and we want change for that.
Totally. And I guess that's ever more relevant. As I said at the start of this interview, the federal and state government's response very much to the COVID-19 pandemic, especially here in WA, has been to push for an expansion of gas in, you know, the Woodside, new Woodside project is a part of that. And gas is very much one of the major polluting industries here in Western Australia. Was that a focus of the rally to criticise that gas-led recovery plan?
Yes, it very much was. I think that was the main, that was very much the main point of our protest on Friday. Our goal for this protest was fund our future, not gas, because we want funding to go towards economic solutions and helping our future. And instead, the Burrup Hub, which is being developed by Woodside, will have a lifetime of 50 years producing over 6 billion tons of carbon pollution. It goes directly against the Paris Agreement, and it's just unethical as a whole.
Right. Now, in terms of, the student strike for climate movement, it's been ongoing now for some time. And, you know, I think one of the exciting aspects of it is that it is a strike and that you're actually calling on students and also their supporters to take part. Did you see, an increase in numbers and more people coming out and supporting that? And also, can you talk about that the strike element and how, you know, it was organized on campus and on schools in to encourage people to actually take time out from schools or their supporters taking time out from work to actually push the message?
Well, yeah, we, since all of us are still in school or TAFE or in other sorts of education, we have to make a lot of our spare time going towards this cause. We have meetings twice a week to try sort things out. We went postering, we put promotion on social media, we went out in public trying to encourage people to join us. It takes a lot of time to organize something like this, and we had a really good turn up for the short amount of time that we had to organize this. September 20, it would have been last year, I think, on September 20 when we had 15,000 people show up to Forest Place. That was amazing. But even though we didn't get as much of a big show up this time around, it was still an amazing cause. There was still so much good energy, and it was amazing to see everyone show up.
We're speaking to Amy, one of the organisers for the School Strike for Climate here in Perth. Now, Amy, I guess a lot of our listeners and yourself and others, many that would have been there on Friday, have probably been involved in some form of activism or protest in regard to trying to encourage the government to take action on climate change or on other associated environmental or social issues. Sometimes it feels like you're beating your head up against a wall, though, given that increasingly there's rather than action on climate change, both the federal and state governments seem to be investing more and more in the fossil fuels. And I guess the question has to be asked, are these protests effective and are they working when they're clearly not necessarily having the desired results in terms of the federal and state politics? How do you feel about that? And do you think that perhaps there's need for a diversity of tactics in regard to applying pressure on these corporations and governments?
Yeah, it can very much feel like a lot of the time that we're not doing anything, that nothing we're doing is helping. But the thing is, it's shown in history that protesting and taking action in your community is something that can very much help. We're slowly getting our cause heard. People are slowly acknowledging us. And we'll just have to keep doing this. We'll keep striking. We'll keep going against what everyone has to say until we have a safe, just transition for fossil fuel workers, net zero emissions by 2025, and a safe future for everyone.
And finally, Amy, if people are interested in getting involved and taking part in the Student Strike for Climate, whether they are themselves students or just supporters of the movement, what do you have coming up? What's the best way people can support Student Strike for Climate here in Perth?
Well, the best way you can support us is by showing up to our strikes, sharing our posts. At a lot of our strikes, we have a sign-up sheet. If you want to join our team, come to the strike, sign up, come to the meeting. You can make a change no matter what you think. Every single person counts in making a change.
We've been speaking to Amy, one of the organisers for the Student Strike for Climate here in Perth. Thanks very much for speaking to us this morning, Amy.
Thank you for having me.
You're listening to the Indie Media Podcast, first broadcast on RTRFM 92.1.
You're on the Indie Media Show on RTRFM 92.1. My name is Raymond Grenfell. In the studio, Brahma is here. Is here? That doesn't make any sense. Brahma's also in the studio, keeping up the vibes. Probably should get him on the mic. He might do a better job. Now, at least 248 people killed, including 66 children, almost 2,000 wounded, hundreds of buildings destroyed, tens of thousands of people displaced from their homes. So stands the human toll after 11 days of Israeli bombardment of the tiny, besieged, heavily populated Gaza Strip. But there are signs of hope, with a growing recognition throughout the world that Israel is an illegitimate apartheid state and that a new resolve by activists everywhere, both inside Palestine and out, to bring its sordid, bloodstained history to a close. In Australia, tens of thousands of people rallied over the weekend as a part of those efforts. Here in Perth, hundreds gathered in Forest Place before marching through the city streets. We bring you now a few of the voices of hope and defiance from that demonstration.
How are you going? So sorry to interrupt. I work for community radio station RTRFM, supporter of Palestine as well. Just wondering if you wanted to say a few words about what brings you out to the rally today, why it's so important to continue to express solidarity with Palestine.
We actually here to support, you know, the Palestinians, you know, people, the one who's suffering since nearly 100 years now, after they kicked out of their, you know, houses and villages and destroyed, you know, and after too many massacres happened to them, before 1947, and the last, you know, invasion for Gaza Strip, especially, you know, after they targeting all, you know, that high buildings and the houses and killing the children and the women and everyone, even without any warning. It's actually a big tragedy, and we are here to, as Palestinians as well, as a person who used to live in Gaza Strip and spend most of my life in Gaza Strip, and I know what I mean, and I saw too many things happening in front of my eyes, and I was a teacher down there as well with the United Nations, the schools. You know that these people under the siege nearly since about 15 years now, and they are suffering a lot. No hope, first of all, no health, no future, no freedom. And most of the time, you know, the other side, because unfortunately they saw support from some of the countries, you know, especially the leaders. I'm not talking about the, you know, the people, because we know that the people is only, you know, have no power to this, you know, people who is supporting Israel. But unfortunately, some governments, like, you know, America, which stopped, you know, the United Security United Nations 3 times nearly in this invasion, about, you know, to have some decisions to stop the war, and they gave them the light or the green light to continue killing the children and the women and the eldest, destroying the buildings. And everyone saw on the news that high building, Il Jala apartment, the high building, which even have, you know, the international news agencies like Associated Press and Al Jazeera, and everyone watching, and no one did anything. That's why we have to support, to show solidarity, you know, to say that it's unfair. You have to do something. You have to stand up and say stop means stop. It's not enough to, you know, just say some word. You have to see, show some actions, and, you know, put too much pressure on these people, the one who is trying, you know, to kick even the Palestinian. It's not enough for them, taken from 1947 or before, their villages, their lands, their future, their freedom, their kids, their women, and everything. But they now try to transfer the people from Jerusalem, Sheikh Jarrah, destroying Gaza Strip. Leave the people alone. Let them live their freedom. You know, it's enough.
Hi guys, sorry to interrupt. I work for RTRFM, community radio station. I'm just wondering if I could get a few words about what brings you out today and why it's important to continue to express solidarity with the Palestinians, you know, even after the ceasefire.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we're just here just to support our Palestinian brothers and sisters. I mean, what they're going through is just completely unacceptable in today's day and age. You know, they've been completely humiliated and degraded and been oppressed over there. And, you know, it's about time that governments around the world step up and actually try and genuinely try to solve the issue. You know, for how long are the Palestinians going to suffer like that? You know, and yeah, I mean, obviously Israel deserves to live in peace, and so does the Palestinians. You know, so we need to come up with a genuine solution where both parties can live side by side. But apparently, we just see time and time again that the Israelis are getting away with a lot of murder and oppression, and it's just unacceptable. You know, something needs to be done. And for how many more children need to die? How many more women need to die? How many more homes need to be destroyed? You know, the day-to-day humiliation of the Palestinians is just unacceptable. So we need to do something about it. You know, just have genuine discussions. Everyone needs to get involved and try and come up with some sort of genuine solution where we can move on from this. You know, we can't just keep on protesting each time something flares up and then go back to normal, and then something flares up again, and then again more people die and we have protests and then it goes back to normal. It's just unacceptable. Something just needs to be done right now. That's why we're here, and hopefully, you know, this can bring a change and raise awareness as well. So yeah.
Hi, sorry to interrupt. I'm from RTRFM Community Radio Station. Just wondering if I get a few words about what brings you out to the rally today, you know, why it's important to continue to express solidarity with Palestinians.
We're here to defend the rights of human beings. And at the end of the day, Palestinians are human beings just like we are. They've been oppressed for too long. And we're happy that the media is covering the suffering that is going on there. We are here to defend the children that do not have voices, the men, women and children, because everybody's human rights should be as valued as we are. And we are in a lucky position here to be able to voice our concerns and our opinions. We are very lucky. So we're here in solidarity with the Palestinian people to let them know that we do care about them. We do care what's happening over there. And we are privileged to be able to do this today.
So about Palestinian, we just hope like in the future we get everything like fine and free Palestinian. We are so sorry about what happening at the moment. All the kids and children being died by bomb, and some of them like families and, you know, father and mama, they've been died, and the children being homeless. This is why we've been like sad and why we've been standing in here. Yeah, thank you.
We are here from Iraq. We are from Iraq, actually, originally. And we come here to support the community of Palestinians. They do have the right to protest and against what happened in Israel, killing all these children. And that's what I think everyone disagree with this. Yeah.
We're definitely here just to help support our families back in Palestine as well, trapped in Gaza, unable to leave. We're against the Zionist regime, and we stand with all Palestinians, whether they're Christian, Jew, Muslim. It's just for humanity. It's got nothing to do with religion at all.
The voices of struggle from Palestinian Australians and their supporters at yesterday's demonstration in solidarity with the people of Palestine. And there were thousands of people on the streets around Australia in Melbourne, otherwise known as Naarm. There were 10,000 people on Saturday who took to the streets in solidarity and support with the people of Palestine. However, on Sunday, there was also another demonstration that took place, a lot less in number. Some 500 pro-Israelis gathered in Melbourne, but a newly formed group, Jews Against Zionism, was there to counter that demonstration and counter the narrative that all Jews are Zionist. On the phone now, I have one of the organizers from Jews Against Zionism, Yael. Thanks very much for joining us this morning.
Hi.
Now, as I just said there was this demonstration that took place on Sunday, and I guess it's kind of become somewhat commonplace that it's expected that the entire Jewish diaspora support Israel. And of course, as your new group is demonstrating, that's very much not the case. Can you just, I guess, explain to our listeners what took place yesterday in Naarm and what your group was doing there in terms of countering this demonstration and countering this narrative?
Right, sure. Well, about a week ago, Zionist federations around so-called Naarm decided to call for a pro-Israeli rally in Caulfield. And so when we found this out, we thought we can't let this go unopposed. We can't let our voices be silenced. Because Zionist institutions and Zionists position themselves as though they are the only voices that speak for Jews, and they weaponize claims of anti-Semitism to silence dissent from the broader community, but they also do this to erase us as Jews. And this is inherently anti-Semitic and something that we had to stand up to. So we organized a counter-protest to come and make our voices clearly heard, which the media then reported on, saying that we weren't Jewish, that we were a Palestinian rabble, which is pretty disgusting.
Certainly. And it is, it's such an important point, isn't it, that this, you know, because it's really the crux of the Zionist propaganda machine, is that if you criticize the actions of the Israeli settler state, or even if you criticize the existence of Israel itself, you are somehow inherently being anti-Semitic. As someone, you know, from a Jewish background, Yael, how do you approach this issue, and how does it kind of make you feel, this idea that just by default, the fact that of your own ethnic and religious background, you must therefore support Israel?
Right. So I find that position incredibly disingenuous, and it's used as a tool, as a bludgeon, against people who are for human rights, who are against things like ethnic cleansing. And it's a betrayal of the highest order, you know, for people who have experienced so much violence ourselves, to then sell ourselves out and sell our fellow humans out, and to use those same tools of violence against other people in the name of Jewish safety. But in the end, all it does is create more animosity towards us as a people, regardless of whether we are Zionist or not.
We're speaking to Yael from the group Jews Against Zionism in Naam, otherwise known as Melbourne. Now, I guess this idea that, you know, to be critical of Israel or critical of Zionism is inherently anti-Semitic is also somewhat ahistorical. There have been mass demonstrations throughout history, particularly from Orthodox Jews in the United States who are opposed to Israel. Can you tell us a bit about, I guess, your knowledge of the history, or at least even contemporary communities? Are there a growing number of, I guess, so-called progressive Jews that are critical and opposed to the actions of Israel?
Yeah, for sure. I think that work stems from our understanding of how settler colonialism functions, how we're used as a tool by European settler nation states to basically create a military base in the Middle East. And I feel as Jews, our understanding of our place within that structure is growing, and it's growing every day. As more and more Jews feel like they have an obligation or a duty to speak up in rejection of settler colonialism, whether that is in occupied so-called Australia or occupied so-called Israel. It's all First Nations sovereign land. The Palestinian people are indigenous and endemic to that area, just as the Wurundjeri people are the traditional custodians of the colon nations of which Naram was built upon.
Totally. And I guess to reference, just a little while ago on the show, I played a track from Naam band The Shabab, who features a singer, a Lebanese Israeli singer. And I just thought it's kind of quite pertinent to mention that the title of that track was Running Away from an Apartheid State. I found myself in that colony, of course, referring to the Australian colonial state. Yeah. Now, in terms of the actions of Jews against Zionism, and you've touched on it just there, obviously, you're trying to work in solidarity with the Palestinians who are demonstrating. And we mentioned before, there was 10,000 people in the streets in Melbourne on the weekend. It was absolutely incredible. But as you mentioned there, it's also working in solidarity with all displaced peoples and all people who are seeking their right to self-determination and sovereignty, in particular here in Australia. That would be our Indigenous brothers and sisters. Can you tell us a bit more about that? And I understand this is a fairly new group, but what you perhaps have planned in terms of building that solidarity and that interconnectedness with those struggles?
Right. Well, I guess the first answer to that is that our collective liberation as a people is tied up with the collective liberation of all people, and that the furthering of settler projects is not the answer to that. We fight against imperialism and settler colonialism, and Zionism is just another word for settler colonialism. It's permission for ethnic cleansing and dispossession, to remove a people from their land and live there as an occupation, is the most disgusting and violent thing that a people can do. And so what we see in the media now of the bombing of Gaza or the displaced people and the ongoing Nakba, that same process is what took place here and is still continuing to take place here, whether that is deaths in custody or the targeted missiling of the world's largest open-air prison in Gaza, you know? The parallels are, you can't mistake them for anything else unless you're willfully trying to further that project, you know?
We've been speaking to... Yael?
Sorry, and as for what it is we're doing to move forward as a relatively new group, is we have connections with various anti-colonial struggles, whether that is people from the Make Mess West Papua Safe campaign, or like Warriors of the Aboriginal Resistance, or other groups that are doing this kind of work. And as an example, Elbit Systems is an Israeli military company, and they have offices all around the world. They have an office in Melbourne, and at 11 o'clock tomorrow, Melbourne time, there will be a demonstration against Elbit Systems that the weapons are used in West Papua to kill people. They're used in Palestine to kill people. So holding demonstrations and resistance and supporting resistance struggles against imperialism and colonialism, because an Israeli company is supported by the US and the Australian governments to aid in colonial projects all around the world, whether that's the Indonesian government or the Israeli government or our own backyard, you know?
Just finally, Yael, I'm unsure as to whether or not there are similar groups here in Perth. Of course, this new group, Jews Against Zionism in Naam, is a fairly recent phenomenon itself. But what can you suggest people do if they are from the Jewish diaspora in particular in terms of organizing here in Perth? Is this something you want to obviously expand and build on in terms of the network of Jews Against Zionism?
Mm. Well, we're a relatively autonomous group. We don't seek to speak for other people on their behalf. But if I'm speaking specifically to Jewish people who live in Boorloo Pass, I would suggest that you start by talking to each other and listening to the voices of those dispossessed in your name. So whether that is getting behind First Nations struggles in Boorloo or organizing amongst yourselves and talking to your family about what is settler colonialism, what is Zionism, and start from there, you know? Start from the ground up and just be honest with yourself and what kind of role you wish to play in the project of settler colonialism. Are you a traitor to whiteness, or do you rely on its compliance to keep what was never yours?
We've been speaking to Yael from Jews Against Zionism in Naam. Thank you so much for speaking to us this morning.
No worries. Shalom.
Australia is going to be shocked, and then the public will say, what the hell's going on?
It's now time for a bit of indie media news. Continuing with news regarding the ongoing occupation of Palestine and the recent bombardment of Gaza, dozens of Jewish settlers flanked by heavily armed Israeli special forces entered the Al-Aqsa Mosque compound in occupied East Jerusalem in the early hours of Sunday morning, further raising tensions in the hours after Palestinian worshippers were beaten and assaulted by Israeli police, according to the Islamic Authority overseeing the site. Citing witnesses, Palestinian news agency Wafa said Israeli police had earlier on Sunday assaulted Palestinian worshippers who were performing dawn prayers at the mosque and excessively beat them in order to make way for Israeli Jewish settlers to storm the compound, Islam's third holiest site. Wafa added that at least six Palestinians had been arrested, including Fadi Alian, a guard at the Al-Aqsa Mosque who tried to film the incident, and Ali Wazuz, an employee of the Islamic Waqf Council, the religious body appointed by Jordan to oversee the Al-Aqsa compound. In other news, in El Salvador, officials say up to 40 bodies, mostly women, could be buried at the house of a former detective. Hugo Ernesto Osorio Chavez was arrested earlier this month for killing a woman and her daughter, which prompted the search of his home and led to the grim discovery. Nine other people have been implicated in the crime so far, including former police officers and former soldiers. El Salvador recorded 70 femicides last year. And Amnesty International is calling on the Biden administration to stop selling US-made weapons and other equipment to Colombia, where police have been violently cracking down on popular protests. Earlier this month, Colombia's human rights watchdog said at least 42 people have been killed in the ongoing protests, which are demanding an end to inequality, violence, and militarized policing, and for the right-wing government of President Iván Duque to enact a number of social reforms. And that's almost about all we've got time for today on the Indie Media Show. If you've enjoyed the program, you can always restream it at rtrfm.com.au. You can also get along to our SoundCloud. We've got some 750 or 800, I haven't kept count, interviews up there. So if you need something to do and you want to listen to some old content, you can get up there and stream my individual interviews. Also, this program will be soon available as a podcast on the RTRFM website in the coming weeks. If you've got an idea for a story, though, if you just want to get in touch, you always can do that via our corporate social media, the Facebook or whatever, or you can always get in touch with us via the RTRFM offices. Catch you next week. But as we say every week on the Indie Media Show, don't hate the media, become the media.
This Australia is going to be shocked, and then the public will say, what the hell's going on?